This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Gutch Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutchchurch.com.
How many guys love the Word? You know what the Word says? In the beginning was the Word, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. That's why we love the Word. The Word, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the Word made flesh, dwelt among us. The Word was God. The Word is God. Now go to verse 9 in John 1. Now listen to this. How many of you guys need a game changer in your life? Huh? How many of you guys need a game changer right now? You need a game changer. Because I promise a game changer, but you have to have ears to hear it. The Bible says, you who have ears to hear what the Spirit's saying. Because see, what we want to do, let me tell you how this works. What we want to do is we want to, here, can you give me your book, okay? What we want to do is here's the situation in our life right here, okay? I could use my stuff. I'll just use my stuff, okay? What we want to do is we want to add the Word to the stuff that we already have on our plate, okay? This is my life right here, and I want to add the Word to it, but you know what the Word does? This right here. It clears everything off and it takes center stage. It's going to clear. That's the game changer, okay? So John 1 and verse 9 says, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world, okay? He was in the world and the world was made through him and the world didn't know him. He came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. Okay, they didn't know him. They didn't receive him. Okay, now listen. But as many as received him, and here's where the game changer comes. As many as received him, to them, he gave the right to be called children of God. See, that's a game changer right there. And I'm about to tell you why as soon as I pick up my notes. But to those who believe in his name, who were born, now listen, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Okay? Now, if we think about this, you guys, how many guys on the playground or when you were kids, you'll tell somebody, hey, move. And somebody will say, hey, move. And you'll go, hey, who gave you the right to tell me to move? Who are you? Who do you think you are? See, it's those kind of things. And let me just tell you, that, man, that's how the devil deceives us. Us thinking that it's coming from us. When we speak, it comes from us. Do you understand this? Here's what's cool. The Bible says when men are speaking the word, angels fill the place inquiring. They're inquisitive about what's happening because we look like people. We smell like people. We sound. But let me just tell you, when we speak God's word, it has the power of the same power that God has when he speaks his word. When God said, let there be light, what happened? The light came. You know what Jesus came? As light. And notice, go back to that in verse 9, that light there, Jesus is a capital L. It's supernatural light. That supernatural light makes us light now in the natural, that we become light, that we become the light of the world. And see, what's interesting is the devil the number one issue you're gonna have in your life. And you'll say, man, the issue that I have, I've got moral issues, I got financial issues, I got marital issues. No, here's your issue, deception. Deception is the enemy of our lives. It's what the devil uses. See, the devil, here's the fight. God's omnipotent. God's omnipresent. He's all powerful. He can be everywhere. The devil's not. He can be at one place at a time. So you know what he's got to do? He's got to send fiery darts, and they come as deception. They're trying to get you to doubt. But see, the doubt is natural. Unbelief now, man, it curbs any bit of your faith. That's when you receive that doubt. But see, we've got to look at our lives as Jesus has come as the light so that we can be light. But then we have the right. What gives you the right? Right here. We have the right to be called children of God. Now, what that does, as children of God, we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. We become, listen to this, for He gave us the right to become, write that down as a matter of fact, that God gave me the right to become a child of God. I have the right now. See, and a child of God, it's interesting. How many of you guys have gone to somebody's house and they'll say, hey, make yourself at home? See, I like Jeremy comes to my house. I do not say make yourself at home to Jeremy. You guys met Jeremy, you mind standing? Jeremy right here, if I said, Jeremy, make yourself at home, he'd have my footy PJs on. He'd be under the covers in my bed, pulling them up like this, going, okay, sit down. But see, but you got people that'll say, and you know what? You'll say, no, I didn't mean for you to take that literally. Well, you know what God's saying? God's saying, make yourself at home. This is yours. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Make yourself at home. Man, you just, man, relax. I'm promising you everything pertaining to life and godliness. You're my kid now. You're my son now. And see, we look at it and we think, oh my gosh, man, I think I've screwed this up. No, you haven't. Unless you've rejected the right to be a child. Man, messing up is part of the equation. But the deception is that you've messed up and you can't get it back. And let me tell you, here's how you get it back. Watch. You know what we call that? Repentance. And we turn. We turn from wickedness. We turn from darkness. We don't buy into the deception anymore. We buy into the truth now. See, I'm going to see the truth. And the truth, I'm going to see the truth. I'm going to know the truth. And I'm going to live in the truth. And it's going to set me free. Listen to this. Romans 8, the 15th, 16th, and 17th verses. For you didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. See, when you receive the right to be called a child of God, you know what happens? You reject the option of fear. But you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father or Papa God. Listen, the spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Underline that in your Bible. Underline that, highlight that. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. Now listen, this is where, let me translate this into church terms. So if you're not churchy, you're gonna have to like figure this out on your own. But church terms, that's where we get the term conviction. I was convicted, so I didn't do that. You get in trouble and you're like, oh my gosh, you know what? I had a warning of the Lord. I had a conviction in my heart. I knew I shouldn't have done it, and I went ahead and did it. Well, let me just tell you, the reason that conviction happens in us is because that still small voice, listen, because the Spirit of God bears witness, okay? Man, actually, and you know what I've done? I've kind of paraphrased that. He gave that upon receiving the Spirit of adoption, okay, the Spirit of God convinces our attitude or convinces our spirit, bears witness to our spirit. It's convincing to us in our lives. And you know what we've got to do? We've got to be great at that. We've got to be great at, listen, allowing the Spirit of God to bear witness in our spirits. We have to teach our kids to do that. Man, there's so many times, and I'll tell you, Sandy is amazing at this with our kids. And I know a lot of other mamas in here are too. But you know what, man, our kid, we'd have to sit down and correct our kids. Invariably, but from the time they were little, did you feel right about that in your heart when you did that? I've heard people refer to that as our knower, that our knower comes alive when the Spirit of God comes into our life. That we begin, it's like, I knew I was wrong. I knew I shouldn't have done that. Man, and you know what? I believe all of us are born, listen, all of us are born with this intuition that we know the difference between right and wrong. We know the difference between right and wrong. We're all born with that. But guess what? The corruption and the rebellion that happens in our life, corruption and rebellion that we're born with also, you know what? It counteracts that knower. Well, now we give our lives to Jesus, and guess what? Man, the price of sin has been paid on our behalf. So now we don't owe anything to that deception. And we don't owe anything. We don't owe anything to that rebellion anymore. So now that knower can come alive in us again. And that the Spirit of God bears witness And it convinces, it's convincing in us. But guess what? We're justified by faith. This all works by faith. That's how we have, that's our response to what God's done. We have to trust it. So here's what you've got to do. You've got to be active in your faith. Being active in your faith is you've got to begin to believe that the Spirit of God bears witness to your spirit, is convincing to your spirit. Man, and I'll tell you what, you want to go this far? I'll take it to you single people in dating. Man, number one, single people, number one, do not give your heart away. Don't. It's not yours. You gave your heart to God. You don't give your heart away. When you let the guard down in your heart is when you say, I do, and there's a ring on your finger. See, and I'll just tell you why. In the world, man, a lot of relationships, there's three parts to relationship, okay? And it's like there's three Greek words for love. And you know what? They coincide with the three parts of relationship. Man, most people in the world, their relationship starts physically. And then you know what? Physically causes it to go emotional. And then, you know what, hopefully they find their way through and they cut through all the weeds to get to the spiritual aspect of it. And you know what? The spiritual aspect of it is Zoe. The emotional aspect of it is phileo. The physical aspect of it is eros. Man, most guys, it's like, man, I love her. No, you're erotic to her. You're eros. Man, see, that's how this works. Man, but you know what? How the kingdom works, how the kingdom operates? You know, I just think people become bad pickers because it starts physically, and then it goes emotional, and then it goes spiritual. What if you flip that and it goes spiritual? And then when you say, I do, man, it's emotional, and then it can go physical. And that physical aspect of it doesn't dominate. Man, see, some of you guys right now, I'll tell you, I didn't plan on preaching this tonight. But some of you, this is the key and the answer to your marriage. If it started physically, you just have to repent. Ask your spouse to forgive you. That's how most in the Western culture start anyway. But you know what? Now what you've got to do is when you repent of that, man, you got to feed that spiritual, that Zoe side of it. Men, you got to love your wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself for. Man, you got to understand this and you got to look at it and say, wait a second. I'm gonna feed the spiritual side of my marriage, number one. Man, that you learn how to have devotion together. You learn how to pray together. Man, you learn how to confront one another. You learn how to set boundaries. Man, then the emotional side of it works out. Man, and then you know what? The physical side of it's easy. Kids are doing it. It is. Who's told you about the birds and the bees? Somebody. See, we've got to understand that. But see, we as a church, man, the church generally for generations hasn't been equipped to preach this. See, we've got to look at it and we've got to get right now. Man, we've got to have that God side of it, that Zoe side of it. Man, it's got to be hitting on all cylinders. We've got to be able to communicate this with our kids. Man, you got to say, well, God, I don't know if I understand it. No, that can't be where you are anymore. You've got to get this. You've got to have an understanding of this. And let me just tell you, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You have got to study the word and show yourself approved. You got to think, oh, you know what? I think that preacher's right about this. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get in the word and I'm going to make sure it's right. I'm going to confirm it in the word and I'm going to have to confirm it with two or three witnesses in the word. See, and I think then things begin to work up and work out and add up in our lives. Man, I'll tell you, man, the number one thing, man, is that we teach men how to love their wives in the church. You know why? Their kids are going to be great kids then. The best way I could be a father is to love their mama. And you know what? I understand that, you know what? We mess up. We are mistake-ridden. But that's why God allows forgiveness, and that's why God allows repentance. And we turn and we don't sin anymore. Man, we turn and we don't make those mistakes anymore. See, we've got to get free of that. The bondage of sin has been broken in our lives. Why? Because now we're children of God. Man, we're in the family. And I'm going to keep reading here. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, we also may be glorified together with him. See, you let this soak in. I think a lot of times, because I want to get so much word and I want to make sure it's based on the word, I want that I fly through it. Man, look at what the word says here. We're heirs of God. We have the right to be called children of God. Do you see that? Please look at it. If you don't have a Bible in front of you, look at the screen. Man, that we have the right. You have the right. What gives you the right? Right there in the word it does. Man, right there in Romans, it gives me the right to be called an heir of God, to join heir with Jesus. Man, the exact same rights that God has, the exact same rights that Jesus has because God gave it to him, I have. Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, you know what? Raises my marriage from where it is right now. Man, you have to look at your life. You have to look at your marriage and your children, your finances, your vocation, man, your future. Man, I'm on the rise. Why? Because the spirit of resurrection's on the inside of me. The same spirit that took Jesus and put him on the rise, that same spirit's in me. And you know what? It bears witness with my spirit now. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly. Why? Because we're in the family now. We're heirs of God. We come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Man, think about this. The throne of God, God's sitting on his ability. God's sitting on his supernatural ability, his power. And you know what it does? That we can find help, mercy, and help, and grace to help us in time of need. That grace now, it translates to everything God's promised us. See, the right answer to what God's promised is okay. God's promised us health. God's promised us healing. God's promised us recovery. Okay. That's faith. Faith is not me looking at, well, but look at my circumstances. I have been an addict. Now, you guys, don't raise your hands, but how many guys have been an addict to something for a long time? And you'll say, well, you know what? I've just learned to live with it. No, do you understand that's not living? You're existing with it. You'll never flourish with that as a partner with you in life. Man, we've got to understand that, and we've got to look at it. We've got to say, wait a second, God's promised it to me. I'm an heir of God. I'm an heir of the throne of grace. Do you understand this? We talk about Jesus in us. Paul talked about Christ in us. The anointed one, the presence of God in us. Deity in us. That's in you now. It's not through men's, the blood that was passed to you. It's through the blood of Jesus that allows Christ to be in us now. Oh my gosh. I'll tell you, just me even saying that right now hits me so powerfully. Man, that we obtain mercy and help in our time of need. Man, why? Because we go to that throne of God's promise. And you know what? God's promise isn't something I'm promising it. It isn't a promise that he gives. It's a promise that he has kept. Do you understand that? Do you understand that he provided it, then he promised it, and now we receive it by faith, and then we get it? The Bible says this, that we have what we say. Man, we speak to that mountain. Why? Because God's given us authority over those mountains. That's why it works. It's not some fairy tale. It's not some positive message. See, but we live our lives thinking that we're hampered, or we live our lives thinking that we're deficited. Man, it's just, you know, I'm handicapped. It's like, yeah, physically, humanly, we're all handicapped. But guess what? Guess what? Nothing on the inside of us is handicapped now. But we have to allow the Spirit of God that's on the inside of us now, as believers in Jesus, the Spirit of God has to be able to bear witness with our spirit, convince our attitudes. Man, I'll tell you, you look at your situation, it's like, man, I'm really having a bad day. How? You're going to heaven. On earth, are you going to heaven? On earth as it is in heaven. That means you have that now. See, that's what we have to recognize, who we are in Christ. We have to recognize, wait a second, I have the right to be called a child of God. Devil, get behind me right now. I'm done. I'm not gonna look to the left or the right. I'm not gonna look back anymore. Man, I have a future and a hope. Everybody say that. I have a future and a hope. Say it again. Skychuk, I wanna hear you. I have a future and a hope. Say it again. Man, hold it. You know what? You guys are acting like you have no adversary. You guys act like, you know what? Life without God is painless, because it's not. You can't act like, well, yeah, you know what? I'll just go through the motions. This is your life we're talking about here. You have the right to be called children of God. You have the right to become an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. God has promised you that. Man, you look at this and you think, wait a second, this is real to me. Man, I'm convicted about this in my spirit now. Man, I'm not worried about touching something deadly, because the Bible promises that a sign that's gonna follow me is it won't harm me. I'm not gonna worry about the flames that have just gone chaotically roaring in my life, because I can walk through them and not be singed. But it's not by might nor by power. It's not my volition. It's by the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we don't have to live in the situation that we're in right now. We don't have to live playing the hand that the world, the prince and the power of the air has dealt to us. Because let me tell you, it's all deception to keep you from the life God's promised you. Man, this is so contagious. You know what it does? You know what Paul said? Man, Paul said this, not that I preach outside of my authority or outside the sphere. You're well within it. And you know what? Man, you buy into this. You know what it does? Man, it expands the sphere that God's given us. Man, you think about this. And Paul was not, he wasn't just looking at the Jewish world that was on. He was looking at the globe. He was looking, man, he wanted to go to Asia so bad he could taste it. But you know what? The Holy Spirit wouldn't allow him to. And he ended up going to Rome. He ended up, you know, do you understand? It became, this movement of Christianity became so strong that the head of the Roman Empire gave his life to Jesus. And then you know what? Didn't submit to authority. And you know what happened to Constantine? He made Christianity the universal religion. He mandated it. He legislated it. God never intended it to be mandated and legislated. God made it for people to run to it because of the signs and the wonders. And you study in the Word, anytime, anything that happened in the wilderness with children of God, anything that happened near the wilderness with children of God became incredibly miraculous. Do you understand when the children of Israel crossed over, manna stopped? And the feeding of the 5,000 with the loaves and fishes, that was right on the edge of the wilderness. Man, that's why that happened. Because God wants the wilderness to have signs and wonders where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna come out to the light of day. I'm gonna see the glory of God operative in my life right here and right now in the name of Jesus. And then you know what? I have what I say. Man, we could fight this the way the world fights it. And just spin our wheels with them. Or we can allow the Spirit of God. And Jesus said, hey, go to the upper room and wait. He said, I gotta go. No, you can't. No, you don't get it. Don't argue with me about this. I gotta go. Because God's gonna give you an advantage. Do you want that advantage today? Just receive it by faith and allow it. But then, now listen, allow it to be the advantage in your life. Man, we don't drill dry wells anymore. We're led by the Spirit of God now. We don't make bad decisions anymore. We hear his voice and another voice we won't follow. God's good, and he does good things, only good. See, that's what we have to understand. This is how powerful this is. We're not rolling the dice in life anymore. I'm just telling you, and I think at this church that some things like this become, they sound like coach speak or cliche, but God's called us to win with our marriages, with our children, with our finances. You know what prosperity is? You're just winning with your resources where you have control of your life. That's what scriptural biblical prosperity is. It's you not wasting your life and wasting your money. You know what biblical scriptural prosperity is? That we're funding great things for God and his house. See, what we've got to understand is that God requires a response. We have to respond, and that's faith. Man, why? Because he's given us the right. Notice he just said, say, okay, you're my child. No, I give you the right to be my child. It's a right you have now. But you know what? You've got to receive it by faith, and then you've got to respond accordingly. And the bottom line, and then what does the word say about his children? What does the word say about whom God loves? He chastises. He corrects them. Well, here I got news for you. God uses two things. His word, reading his word, and people. That's what's going to be corrective in your life. And you know what? That's why we've got to be living epistles read of all men. I'm not big in telling people how to live their lives. I'm real big on showing people how to live their lives. This is how you do it. You know what Paul said? What you see me do, you do. What you hear me say, you say. He wasn't going to let them make it up as they go along. See, we've got to understand the way Jesus operated was counterculture. It was the opposite. Man, the woman, the harlot, they were going to stone her. They caught her in adultery. Jesus didn't, listen, I've heard people say this. Well, yeah, it was a woman. They didn't do it to the man. Jesus didn't come and say, hey, let's make this fair. If you're going to stone the woman, you better stone the man too. Because you know what? It would have had the same results. Because all those men would have been shamed and guilted. But you know what? No, he didn't do that. He said, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. He didn't make it fair. He didn't come in and say, hey, it's going to be fair today. He came in to say, I'm going to give you the most dramatic advantage the world has ever seen. You ready for this? No weapon formed against you can win. And you know what we do? Man, we build these churches full of people that cower over any deception that comes through their lives. Did I just say that because I was thinking it? There's people watching on the internet. But listen, we can't be those people. Man, we're all worried about one diagnosis or the other. One dip in the economy, the other. Here, can I give you some news? The economy's gonna dip. I don't know when. I don't care. We're not on that economy. We have to understand. You wanna know the economy I'm on? Who wants to know? Let me see your hands. All my needs met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's good. What else do you need? The desires of my heart. Oh, yeah, I do. There's some desires that I have that I don't really, really need, but they're desires that I have. Oh, okay. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, but I don't know. I need assurance. Oh, okay. You take the first 10% of the whole year income and God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out. There'll be an open heaven above your life. What does the Bible say about promotion? Anybody know? Huh? It doesn't come from the north, south, east, or west. Your raise, your promotion, your bonus, all that stuff. You know what? It comes from above. Man, you please him. Guess what? He will fill you with plenty, is what the word says. Man, we have to understand that. Man, our barns filled with plenty, our vats overflowing with new wine. Notice about that. Notice it doesn't. Let me just tell you, we bring that into New Testament promise. That barn filled with plenty is your resources. Those vats overflowing with new wine is the Spirit of God, new wine flowing in your life. And notice this. Jesus came in and the miracle of turning water into wine. They said, wait a second, man, this is the best wine. It was new wine. That's what God wants to do in our lives now. Revelation, where it's the best revelation. It's the best wine that there is. It's new wine. It's new revelation. Man, we're growing in God. I've got a hunger for God's word because he's given me revelation. If it's just knowledge, I know the word. Yeah, I've read the word. I know what the Bible says. I know people that aren't Christians that have probably read much more of the Bible than anybody in here. But you know what? To us, it's life to us. It's health to our flesh. What if God's promised you health? Man, I'll tell you what. God's promised me health. That changes the outlook on how I take care of myself. Because he's promised me health, so the last thing I want to do is run his health into the ditch. The last thing I want to do is make a wrong turn and or fly through a red light or in an intersection and make a wrong turn and, man, end up over a cliff. Man, you know what we've got to do? We've got to understand that God calls us something very sacred. We're temples of his Holy Spirit. That's what our lives are now. That's why he's promised us the best. That's why all our needs met, because we're housing his Spirit, the breath of heaven. And that's what God gives us. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. What are you facing right now? What has God promised? Man, land on the promise side and not what you see and not how you feel. In Galatians, the third chapter in the 26th verse, for you are all sons of God, listen, through faith in Christ Jesus. But as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. See, and you look at it and you'll think, well, but wait a second. I'm a woman and I know what the church says about women. Really? Really? You want to go there? Are we going to delete this verse out of the Bible? Yeah, but you know what? Man, I was born on the other side of the tracks. Man, do you understand? Let me just tell you. The 11th year of the church, most all the converts were born on the other side of the tracks. Do you know that? The first 10 years, man, the guys on the right side of the tracks had their shot. The 11th year came. And guess what? The floodgates opened. People of every color and every language and every creed. It was just amazing how many of the laws that they were breaking. And you know what? God was filling them with the Spirit. I'm talking about the Old Testament laws. They're coming in. They're not circumcised. They're eating food they shouldn't be eating. Man, they're doing things. And you know what? Man, I'm just telling you, man, the Holy Spirit flooded those people. And you know what? They had to come together and say, what are we going to do? And the Pharisees who'd become Christians, man, they came in all stiff-necked and said, man, they've got to abide by the law, especially circumcision. Peter said, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? We can't even keep the law. Why would we make them do it? And then James, the brother of Jesus, just stood up. He didn't have to yell or scream. He said, here's what's going to happen. Man, anointed to speak, a word in season. We're not saddling with the law and our circumcision. Here's what they're going to have to do. Man, and he laid it out real simply. Man, don't partake in anything that's been offered to idols. Don't eat any food that's been strangled. Abstain sexual immorality and live for Jesus. It's like, wow. Shoot, I can do that. Man, let's go. Why? Because we're children now. We're sons and we're daughters of God. We're in the family. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. And listen, heirs according to the promise. And that's the key. Everything we look at, we have to be able to see the promise. Every situation we go through, we have to know the promise. Everything that appears and it's gonna harm us. The Bible promises, and listen, the type and shadow is that no evil shall befall us, nor any plague come near where we live. And the New Testament, man, it becomes, man, we're covered now. Man, the blood of Jesus becomes the Passover of our lives for everything. The enemy wants to come in and curse your home. He can't. He has to pass over. You know why? There is blood on the doorpost. And guess who the door is? It's covered. Stop freaking out. Stop worrying. Be who God's called you to be. Know the word. Man, let every time the door opens, be there. Every chance you have, if there's a vacant seat by you, bring somebody and put it in them. Put them in it. Man, that's how this works the best. Man, if we just ride it out, if we're just mad, man, I got here by the skin of my teeth. Man, I'll tell you, I'm here on Wednesday night because I'm normally a Sunday guy. No, you're here every time the door's open. We're sons. This is house. He's counting on us, listen, to resource it and fill it. That's where the blessings are. Resourcing it and filling it. Man, the world doesn't understand that. You know you're beginning to ring the bell when dear friends of yours who don't get it are asking you, well, wait a minute, you're going to church again? Man, is that all you do is go to church now? You're no fun anymore. Oh, you can't go on that trip because you got a motorcycle rally at the church? What kind of church would have a motorcycle rally anyway? I've had people ask me that. What kind of church would have a motorcycle rally? The kind of church that wants to feed kids under 6 years old on an island that nobody else in the world's ever heard of. The kind of church that wants to throw its doors open for people that have made motorcycles their identity. And if you say, well, why do we have high school football awards? I don't know. I'm not a big time fisherman. But I think you have to bait your hook. I think you got to get some chum in the water and throw those nets out. Sometimes you got to throw those nets out to the deep. So I'll tell you what, and I'll tell you what my heart is simply that. My heart is, no matter who's tried it, no matter how much they've tried or how much they've spent, and we fished all day, we fished all night, we've caught nothing. But Jesus, that's your word. And you know what? That they threw that net in the deep. They started to bring it in. There was so much resistance. They had to call for help. It began to tip the boat. They'd never seen anything like this before. They weren't expecting it. It started splitting the nets. They had to call other boats in. I'll tell you, God's no respecter of persons. I want to have the ear of my heart on the ready for God to say, for Jesus to say, throw that net out into the deep. You know that place you've been fit? Man, I've asked that guy to come to church. I'm not doing it anymore. No. At your word, I'll do it one more time. Man, I give and I give and I give. And no, at your word, I'll give again. Man, all that church does is ask for money. Whatever it is, we're not buying into the deception. We just simply want to be one thing, and it's obedient. Because I'll tell you, the church I want to pastor is the church that people eat the good of the land. You want to get in the back seat every day? You can have it. I want to get in the left lane. I don't want to be in the back seat. Other folk reaping, other folk having the benefits, other folk bringing in the harvest. I want to become all things to all men that we might save some and keep saving them and keep saving them and keep saving them. And the Spirit of God, the heart of God is on us right now. I'm just telling you. To know him and the power of his resurrection. Every kid that gets shot, every overdose, every dad that is incarcerated, the whole deal breaks God's heart. when we have our back to him. Yeah, you know what? There's some people, you'll say, you know, we can't help everybody. I'm going to help somebody. And I'm competitive. I want to help more than you. That's just me, though. I'm not saying it's right. But you got to help somebody. And you got to believe in this so much that you don't believe in anything else. 6 or 8 months ago, Sandy just looked me in the eye and just said, Bill, I trust God. Me too. I'm on that team. Give me my jersey. Put me in, coach.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on our service times, please visit gutschurch.com.